And today, one of the laws we're covering is the law of sowing and reaping. Everybody say the law of sowing and reaping. So this is part number two of the law of sowing and reaping. And so our opening scripture text is at the top there, Psalms 115, verse 14. The Lord shall increase, everybody say increase, you more and more, you and your children. So we said and stated before that God's plan is to bring multiplication and increase into our lives. Multiplication and increase into our lives. And so we talked about four principles of increase. And these four principles are we must fully grasp before we can glance at the seven laws of increase. So just real quickly, we will review these. Principle number one, God gives you increase so that you can have an impact. God gives you increase so that you can have an impact. So God looks at us and says, I want to increase you so I can make you can make a difference for the betterment of my kingdom. So that you can make a difference for the betterment of my kingdom. So the Lord gives us increase so that we can play an important role in his work, not just our own. Principle number two, God gives you more so that you can do more. God gives you more so you can do more. So, friends, there's never a time in anyone's walk with God where they're allowed to hit the brakes. Turn to your neighbor and look at him real nice and smile at him and says, don't pump the brakes on God. Look at somebody else and say, look at him, smile real good at them. Don't mean mug him, okay? Say, don't pump the brakes on God. All right. So coast, don't try stop. Try stop trying to make a bigger and bigger impact for the kingdom. See, there's never a time where we're allowed to just coast and get casual. So when you become a coaster or a casual Christian, then that means you're in a complicated situation. Amen. Confusing situation. God increases you because he wants you to be capable of handling more so you can have an even greater impact than ever before. Principle number three. God gives you more so that you can do more, not so you can just have more. God gives you more so that you can do more, not just so you can have more. So we got specific, and we'll get specific again because we'll repeat it. We learn by repetition, right? If your giving isn't trending up, then your impact isn't plateaued, flatlined, or just staying the same. It is trending down, or you're declining in your giving. Now, I said giving, not tithing. So we often define tithing what belongs to God. That's what you return back to God. God said in the word, the tenth is holy unto the Lord. In other words, that we work and get 100% of the money, but 10% of that money that we work, sweat for, belongs to who? God. He has put ownership over 10% of it. So tithing is the starting point. It's the training wheels. It's God's way of raising his children, not just his way of raising money. Amen. Amen. So he says your stewardship starts with 10%. That's what you give back to the Lord. You haven't given anything to God when you just tithe. Verse, for whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Now, in the Phillips, J.B. Phillips translation, I think I have it or may have it in your handout there. A man under Christian instruction should be willing to contribute toward the likelihood of his teacher. Amen. Should be willing to contribute to the livelihood of his teacher. Don't be under any delusion. God cannot make a fool. You can't make a fool of God. And man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. Isn't that good? Yes. See, the law of sowing and reaping is the essence sets our expectation and establishes our engagement to be generous and to do good. As Christians, we ought to be generous. That's God's standard for us because he's generous. And to do good. Amen. Because God is good. Amen. So those are the two legs in which this law of sowing and reaping establishes for us. We're being generous. And we're being good. God wants you and me to live a life as a sower. Amen. not a sucker. Amen. But a sower. So you have to evaluate yourself and say, am I a sower? Because that's how we contribute increase into our lives and into the kingdom. You got to live a life of as a sower. Amen. In other words, God not only wants us to be and become faithful, but he also wants us to be and become fruitful. Faithfulness and fruitfulness glorifies God, the fruit of increase for the kingdom of God. Amen. So we said there's four different categories of fruit that we are to produce as Christians. Number one, the fruit of more souls. Number two, the fruit of mature spirituality. That means you growing up helps other people grow. See, if you're growing, if this brother back here is growing, he helps the church grow. Your growth and spiritual health helps the church grow and be spiritually healthy. That's why growing up is a big part of the New Testament, growing up spiritually. So the fruit of more souls, the fruit of mature spirituality. Number three, the fruit of manifested scriptures. In other words, you and I exercising our faith and standing on the word of God and acting upon the word of God, bring that promise of God's word to pass in our lives. It blesses people. It benefits others that God's word is true. His testimonies are sure. Amen. His truth endures to all generations. Praise God. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will not lie. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he will make it good. We all need to be manifesting scriptures that we stand upon and establish our faith upon in the Bible. Amen. In our lives. Number four, the fruit of material substance. That means the evidence of our material and monetary increase should be traceable back to who? Look what the Lord has done. I'm not talking about human ambition or selfish ambition or driving like a lot of these people do to be rich and craving to be rich. That's going off into deep end and the excess and imbalance in this thing. I'm talking about where the blessing of the Lord makes you rich. Come on, the increase of God is operating in your life. And you turn around and everybody says, how'd you get this? God did it. God did it. God did it. The Lord did it. Look what the Lord has done. Come on now. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read the parable of the sower. Because this parable, he said, you got to understand this one before you understand any principle. And the law of sowing and reaping is embedded in this parable, which is the primary principle of the kingdom of God. Now, verse 13, it says, and he said, know you not this parable? How do you know all parables? I'm reading out of King James, reading right in front of him. And verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word was sown. When they heard, Satan comes immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. So it was, they had hard head and hard heart, wayside thinking. These were they likewise were sown on stony ground, which they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and having no root in themselves, and so endured for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, which such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Praise the Lord. Now we'll skip down to verse 26. Same chapter, Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise day and night, and the seed should spring forth and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, or when it's ripe and ready, immediately he, the man, puts in the sickle because the harvest is ripe and ready or come. Now we see two outstanding concepts of this principle and law of sowing and reaping. Number one, firstly, we see increase is the primary keynote of excellent and exemplary Christian's life and effective Christian leadership. Increase is the primary keynote. In other words, we're not going to go stand before God if you look at the parable of the talents and say, Lord, I was a Christian for 40 years, 50 years. I went to church. I did this. No, he's going to say, if you contribute, increase. Because the one talent guy didn't have increase. The two talent and the five talent person had increase. And they both got what? Well done's. Amen. So how are you and I going to get our well done? By talking a good game? No, we're going to be bringing to the Lord what? Increase. The second point is, well, let's go back to the first point. We always need to be believing God for increase, guys. Some people think, well, I've done enough, I've increased enough, and they start to coast or pump the brakes on the things of God. No, we ought to be going to the next level. God never wants us to stay the same, produce the same, or start to decline. Well, praise the Lord. Secondly, it's impossible to produce increase unless you know two things. What you have to work with to generate and make increase in your life and your leadership responsibilities and who you are in Christ and in the body of Christ. You need to know the tools that you have at your disposal. That's why we said oftentimes when you don't know who you are, you act like who you're not. In other words, you need to know who you are and what you have to work with. You are really somebody in Christ, but then you have a grace, you have a place, and when you're out of your place, you're out of your grace because you don't have the equipment at your disposal. Then we said you fall on your face. So everybody needs to know who they are in Christ, but also who they are in the body of Christ because that's where you'll contribute the most and maximum increase because you're in a position that's anointed and appointed for you. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. See, the bridge between the temporal reality and where we are now and where we need to be and become in Christ is faith. Amen. Faith is the primary tool we must use to generate increase. So the scripture's littered with faith, walking by faith five times. You know, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, this is how you live. Now, naturally speaking, we live by eating. If we eat, we got to eat. We got to breathe. Well, spiritually, you got to use your faith. That's the primary tool to generate increase. So when we understand that, we're not confused and clouded and cluttered up in our minds and think, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Increase. Generate increase. We are to be contributing increase to the body. That supply of increase should be coming in on a consistent, regular basis from and through your life. That means you're a fruit producer. You're not just faithful, you're fruitful. Number three, the increase we produce in the kingdom determines our standing with the Lord. We talked about with the parable of talents. Did your life produce increase for the Lord in his kingdom while you were here on earth? Amen. Now, here's some points and principles of the law of sowing and reaping. So we're going to talk about reaping here in a minute. But let's talk about these points we just read from Mark's gospel. Point number one, the seed is the word of God. Period. That's spiritual seed. So what is my seed? if sowing and reaping is so critical and vital for me to understand increase and generate increase, then what's my seed? Well, Jesus said the sower soweth the what? Come on, class. The sower soweth what? The word. So that means I've got to look at the word as seed, just like Jesus said it was seed. So how am I working the word and using the word of God as a seed? Amen. I'm not talking about pages off the Bible. I can't rip these pages off and put it in everybody's heart. Come on now. I'm talking about a concept, an idea, a perception of reality that originates from God and not from man or this earth or devils and demons. For example, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. Well, that didn't originate with the world or with the devil. That's a God idea. That's a heavenly idea. Amen? And see, we got to take that seed that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed and establish it in the soil of the human heart. And first beginning with us. That's the second point. The ground of the human, the ground is the human heart or the spirit. What is the soil? He said the sower sows the word. That means you ought to be getting word sown into you. That's why you come to church. Amen. Because I'm scattering seed out there. It's addressed not to your head only. It's addressed to your heart, your spirit. Amen. But there are four soil conditions. And that's point number three. 25% of the ground will produce fruit that the word is sown in. Brother Hagin used to say 25% of the people will produce from the preaching and teaching of the ministry. Will produce fruit. Because notice the first three didn't produce anything. Why? Because they had bad soil conditions. See, the canvassing and cultivation and the cleaning up of your heart is your responsibility, not God's. The ground of your heart must be cultivated and de-weeded by you. Amen. Amen. Because you have to prepare to receive the word. That's why we said, don't ever come to a church service you hadn't prayed. Because your preparation is your preparation of your heart and mind. Amen. Amen. Don't get up and try to serve when you haven't gotten a word in you. Because you can serve with the wrong heart motive and the wrong soil, and it will mess you up. It's just like, you know, yesterday they played college football, most of them did, and today they playing NFL football. Think about if an NFL player goes out on the field without a helmet and shoulder pads. He's going to get what? He's going to get hurt. You need the word of God to be working in your life, or you will get hit or you will get hurt by life. Amen. Everybody say this with me. Say that my ground condition, the plowing, preparation, and protection of my heart is my responsibility, not the Lord. Amen. So if you got weeds and thorns and thistles growing up in your heart, that's us. God's saying, hey, that's yours. I'm going to be faithful to sow the word. That's why people can hear messages and walk out and not get anything out of it. Here's another point. The seed is sown into the human heart and properly cultivated on a daily basis. Everybody say daily basis. Example, watering the seed, and weeds are pulled out. That's why some of you understand why we give out handouts. Why? Because you need to be able to water this. This is not nickel and dime, throw it out there and say, okay, well, go out there and try this. No, this should salt and pepper everything you do in life. This law is so big, so critical to your life of increase in the kingdom that this should salt and pepper everything you do in life. You're sowing seed. Amen. And you will reap a harvest of the seeds that you sown. Galatians 6:7 says it, Philip, a man's harvest in life depends what? Entirely upon what he sown. Amen. You want a good harvest? Sow some good seed. Number 6, weeds, thorns, and thistles are examples of worldly or satanic ideas that will choke out, obstruct, and strangle the God ideas. See, if you cultivate daily your heart on a daily basis, it will produce increase that the word or God ideas intend to. But if you have thorns and thistles and weeds, they will choke out the worldly, the God ideas. See, if a negative idea is something that somebody said, well, God doesn't heal everybody. God doesn't want you healed. He wants to teach you something. Well, that's not a God idea. That's an idea that came out of somewhere else. And sometimes people will listen to people on the radio or TV, and they say, well, you got to help us. You got to help us. You got to help us if we're going to go out the air. We're going to go off the air. But they believe that God uses sickness to teach you something. And you send them some money out of guilt or just general concern about that ministry. You send them $50. Guess what you just did? You sowed toward that negative idea. It's the same thing when people vote for a candidate who doesn't believe God or the things of God or the word of God. They believe in things that are not authorized in God's word or in line with God's word. Well, I just like that candidate. What you just do? You just sow the seed. Because your voting is a seed. Well, praise the Lord. And the negative ideas always choke out and strangle and obstruct the God ideas. That's why you can't have a mixed garden in your heart. You can't watch the worldly media, the liberal media, and expect to have a good seed coming up out of your ground. Because if you're watching worldly media, ungodly media, who believes in everything outside of God, and they're going to be putting seeds in your soil of your heart, and then you're going to be listening to the words of God, and they're going to choke that word of God in you. That's why we got to make sure that we're listening to the right things. Amen. And watching the right things and on social media with the right people. Amen. Well, I may have to start my car and get moving. Hallelujah. This is good stuff just to help you. See, there are four fundamental heart conditions. Number one was the wayside ground. What was the deal with that first person? Well, they had a wrong manner of thinking. See, they reject or repel God's ideas or concepts that come through the preaching and the teaching of the word because of hard heart or hard head. They don't understand it. Matthew 13 says it. They don't understand it. Well, I don't understand it, so they automatically just spit it out. I don't understand this tithing thing, so they spit out tithing. Well, you're not just rejecting a good idea. You're rejecting a God idea. And Satan is able to come and just snatch it right out of your heart. Because you walk out here, next thing you know, when it comes to tithing or paying bills or doing whatever, you won't choose to tithe. Well, praise the Lord. It's neck of ground was stony ground or rocky ground. This is, they got excited. They said amen in church. And outside of church, they said, oh, me. Because they had no depths or roots. How do you develop roots? Well, the Bible says meditation is what makes roots grow. That means you put think time to the word. You don't just read devotions. We have devotional as a group. Most of you are in that. We'd like everybody to be in it, but there's still time if you want to get in it, only you version. But some people don't take time to think it. They just read the word and pass on to the next task. That's why it concerns me a little bit that some people get so many devotions and that the devotions never get in them. Because they need to think and meditate on that word. That means that's how you get deep roots. See, if the word doesn't get root in your heart when persecution and affliction arise because of the word, the Bible says immediately they get offended. Because some happen and they think that somebody's mad at me, people don't like me, or, you know, maybe God doesn't want me to come into this church because I'm having so many problems. And they stay away. Well, that just means you're offended. And that means you don't have any roots. You got to develop roots. That means read the word of God, water that word of God, let it grow deep and wide in your heart. That means you got to talk the words, spend time in that word. Put your thoughts down in paper. That's why it gives us a chance to write down what that word is saying to us. Why? Because we're energizing our thinking about it. We're meditating. Someone just passed through, passed through. I read that for today. And then check the block, Christians. Well, praise the Lord. Woo! See, thorns and thistle ground is those that possess extremes and excessiveness of cares, covetousness, and greed, and desire for worldly and lustful things. Those are like thorns and thistles. Deceitfulness of riches. That means people are deceived. Money always deceives you if you allow it. Because it will make a gravitational pull where? On your heart. To do what? To transfer your trust from God to it. And so you look at your bank balance and you look at your checkbook and you look at your savings account and say, that's my source of security, of satisfaction. Well, praise the Lord. And so we get to sticking with that. Or we get cares when we're worrying every day about our kids, worrying about what somebody said, worrying about our family. And we don't realize that worry is a sin. And sin lets the devil get in. You ought to be able to sleep at night in peace and say, I put my kids in the hands of the Lord. Okay, well, you care if you don't know where they're at. Amen. Amen? You say, I surround them with faith and love. Shut up, Mr. Devil. I'm not going to worry over them. Amen. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. You sling the blood over them. You hold them under the blood. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, good ground produced 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. Now, let's look at some principles. Let's look back at Galatians 6, 7 again. Galatians 6, 7. This is the context where money is used to enable the preaching and teaching of the word. So money is a seed. Now, I'm not a legalist. And I'm not saying, well, I sold somebody a watch. And, yeah, love gives. And that's what we should be doing. Giving watches, purses, money. Because you can't sew dollar bills in people's hearts or watch in somebody's heart. Right?
That's right.
But I understand the context of that. You're giving somebody something. And that's what love should do. But here he's talking about where seed is used with money to do what? To enable the preaching and teaching of God's word. Now let's look at verse Galatians 6, 6 again. Let him who receives instruction in the word of God share with all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Now, so that is contributing to the preaching, the proliferation, the promoting of the gospel. In other words, you're using their money to enable the word, to get the word out. And he said, first start where you're taught. That means your best and biggest giving should be to your church. Amen? Amen? And to your pastors. Amen. Amen. Now, verse 7, excuse me. Thank you. Do not be deceived or deluded or misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, and that only, will he reap. So we said there's four principles underneath this law of sowing and reaping that we need to understand. Number one, the principle of investment. So we get when we sow. What if you don't sow nothing? You don't get nothing. A farmer doesn't say, well, I want cotton, but I'm going to sow corn. Or he says, I want cotton, but I don't sow anything. I'm just going to pray and ask God to give me cotton. No, start sowing some cotton seed. Principle number two, the principle of identity. You get what you sow. You get what you sow. You never get oranges from an apple tree. They seed produces after what? Its own kind. And then number three, the principle of increase. You get more than when you sow. You know, farmers can tell you, they can get thousands and millions of corn, ears of corn, from one corn full of seed. Right? And the principle of interval, you get later than when you sow. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 8. He says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So each one should give as he purposes his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace bound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound, have abundance for every good work. In other words, this is a lifestyle of a sower. That means God is increasing you and blessing you so much that you sow every time he turns around. You are a skilled, anointed sower. Amen. And so this is a beautiful outstand. The sowing and reaping is based on, you know, the right priority, the right purpose, the genuine, godly, right, God, powerful promise, excuse me, and the genuine godly purpose. Sowing a seed won't change your past, but it will change your future. We often say it may leave your hand, but it will never leave your life. Now, here's some rules real quick as we close up of reaping a harvest, because it's not just sowing, it's reaping. Friends, it takes faith to sow, but it also takes faith to what? Reap. God wants you and I to be good, excellent sowers, but also good and excellent reapers. Amen. Now, rule number one, reaping is not automatic. Many of us in here need a harvest in life. Why? Because that keeps us motivated, keeps us rejoicing, as the psalmists say. But reaping is not automatic. Proverbs 10:15 says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. So some people are sleeping during harvest. Now, God has declared this back half of the year as harvest season. Everybody in this church should be exercising their faith for reaping the harvest of increase in their lives. Are you listening to me? Once you've sown, you have much to do in the meantime to call in the harvest. You ask any farmer. Harvest season is the hardest season. They till the soil. They plow the dirt and get it soft and fertile. They put the seed in the ground and they water it. And when that thing comes up, whether it's corn, wheat, whatever, they put the combines to work. They get those things in. But it's a lot of work and labor to get the harvest in. Amen. See, the harvest doesn't jump into the field, from the field into the barn. Someone must go out and what? Reap it. Well, remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, 29. We just read it. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle. See, some people think God's going to put the sickle in. But the sickle is your faith gathering it in. Your faith calling it in. So ask yourself this question. How much time is my faith gathering in the seeds that I sown? Now, let me tell you how Brother Hagin did it in the financial context. In the financial context, he said he was driving down the road, and he said his tires were preaching to him because they were bald. He said his kids were inadequately clothed. He said his kids were inadequately fed. And he was complaining to the Lord. Lord, what's going on here? I'm doing what you ask. You know, he had now changed, became willing and obedient to do. He was sowing. He was a tither and a giver. And the Lord told him this. He said, you know, I had to ask me about money, but you got to use your faith for your finances. Most people aren't using their faith for their finances. Now, I'll take a little small break and tell you about the time when I was working with Church's Chicken. God told me, he said, there's two years passed since you believed me for increase in promotion. And I looked around and I said, wait a minute, it was exactly 2 years. But how many know those things are available to a person who tithes and gives? He gives seed to who? The sower, and bread for your food, and multiplies your seed sown. And increases, look at the language of the scripture, increases the fruits of your righteousness. He wants you to produce more fruit. He doesn't want you to live on barely get along and struggle alley. Are you listening to me? So it's not automatic. So here's what the Lord told Brother Hagin, getting back to that story. He told him, he said, you are a tither and a giver. That means he qualified for this law to work in his behalf in the positive, productive way. If you're a tither and a giver, you qualify for this law to work in your behalf in a positive and productive way. He said, you're a tither and a giver. He said, you don't need to sow any more seed. You got seed in the ground. He said, you got seed in your heavenly account. Most of us don't even realize that when we put sowing in the earth, God records it in heaven. He keeps up with it. That's why Jesus said, don't lay your treasure just up on earth where moth and rust do corrupt it, or thieves break through and steal it. He said, lay up treasure where? In heaven. How much do you have up in heaven? Every one of us have a heavenly account that has something in it or nothing in it. And just like a natural bank, when you make deposits, you can make what? Withdrawals. If you don't deposit anything, you can't do what? That's called overdraft. And God won't allow us to sneer or thumb our nose up at his principles or his laws. We can't just say, well, Lord, I need a harvest of this. We haven't sowed. Because if you don't sow anything, you won't, what? Reap anything. Hallelujah. So he told him, you're a tither and a giver. He told him to claim what he needed and wanted. Now, how many know you got to do that by faith? You can't make a claim to anything that comes from God without faith. You can't just be feeling it. You can't be faking it. You have to be in faith about it. So he claimed what he needed. And he said, tell the devil to take his hands off your money. Why? Because the scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It doesn't belong, the wealth in the earth doesn't belong to the devil and his bunch. I know it looks like it on TV that they're prospering, they got all this money, you got people get all these big contracts, and where's our stuff? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just.
That's right.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
But it's not automatic. You got to put your faith out there and call the money in. Claim what you need. Amen. And then tell the devil to take his hands off, because God's not the one holding your stuff back and holding your source, your supplies back. Amen. The devil is directly opposed to your prosperity and increase. He is positioned to keep you poor, broke, and lacking. And in the land of not enough. Are you listening to me? So reaping is not automatic. Everybody say praise the Lord. And he said, commission and assign the ministering spirits to go and cause the money to come. They are sitting there waiting for you to put them to work. They're called prosperity angels or your angels. They are there to say, wait for you to tell them what to do, because they minister for you. In other words, just like you're an employer, you have employees who work for you. These ministering spirits minister for us as heirs of salvation. In other words, you got to tell the ministering spirits, go and cause the money to come.
That's right.
It takes faith to do that. There are some men of God who've gone on to be the Lord. They said they would spend 6 to 8 hours a day assigning angels because many people aren't using their angels. They would be in their prayer closet 6 to 8 hours a day, sending angels over here, causing stuff to move around. Amen. Number two, reaping requires what? Faith. Reaping requires faith. Ecclesiastes 11:4, farmer who waits for the perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. In other words, a farmer does not wait for the conditions to be perfect, and neither should you. You could be somewhere really under the barrel or behind the eight ball, so to speak. But you don't have to wait to perfect conditions. Are you waiting for perfect conditions to sow? The perfect conditions to reap? See, this verse highlights the paralyzing conditions of fear and doubt. People who usually keep their eyes fixed on the negative conditions will fail to sow and lose their faith in their seed. If you're always looking at the negative, you will not sow. And you will lose faith in your seed. Now listen to what Galatians 6:9 says in the Message translation. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. So if you're a sower, if you've gotten discouraged, that's doubt working in you and literally digging up your seed. Especially if you say, it's not working for me. Amen. If your faith gets fatigued, that's fear, troubling and tiring your faith so that you quit and give up. You stop watering. You stop speaking. You stop believing. You stop speaking words of faith in life. You quit receiving. You start talking about the lack of money and the reality. Let's just keep it real. The struggle is real. You don't talk about lack and poverty. You'll attract it. See, one clear sign of faith fatigue is that you stop rejoicing. Because when you stop rejoicing, you stop receiving. Because we always say doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. I'll say that again to get it right. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. How many times did you rejoice last week? Rejoicing is a harvesting factor. Read Psalms 126. It talks about them bringing their harvest in. Rejoicing, receive the end of your faith in 1 Peter. Rejoicing is a big, big deal. Every time you're dealing with doubt, unbelief, and fear, you're dealing directly with the devil. We said before in the offering, impatience is a sign of unbelief. We inherit the promise through faith and patience. A farmer doesn't go out there and sow one day and dig up the seed and say, where's the harvest? No, you don't know how it's going to come up. That's God's part. He gives the increase. And then it's progressive, as it says, Mark. First the blade, the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Amen? Our harvest doesn't depend on the weather climate or our life's circumstances or our economic conditions. Our harvest does not depend on these things. We are meant to harvest all year round. We can live in the harvest and on the harvest. Somebody say glory to God. Now, rule number three, tithing protects your harvest. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. That qualifies you to get involved in the harvest. Your tithe, when you tithe, the devil can't devour or destroy your crop. Amen. See, when we're tithe, we're not only honoring God with the first 10% of our income or increase, we're inviting him into our circumstances. You got tithing rights and tithing privileges. Now, some people need to get in that game. Because they give way less than what they make. You ought to be giving at least 10% of what you get in. Gross. Praise God. I'll just leave it at that. Rule number four, when you reap, when to reap. John 4:25, Message translation, as you look around right now, wouldn't you say that it's about 4 months and it will be time to harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritans' fields are ripe. It's harvest time. Amen. Everybody say it's harvest time. See, time is important. Don't pick the harvest green. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says there's a right time to plant and another time to reap. Number 4, 5, last one, you got to know where to reap. Genesis 26:12 says Isaac planted crops in the land and took a huge harvest, and God blessed him. The man got richer and richer day by day until he was very wealthy. See, God will show you where your harvest is located and that it may not be where you're expecting it. Because let me close with this thought. The fruit that you produce from the soil of your heart is not for you. The prosperity that you generate from the increase in your life is not just for you. It's for other people. God wants you to be a sower. Amen? The seed is in the fruit. He said, where my harvest going to come from then? That's why people keep all their money and keep all their increase. Their giving starts slowing down. Why? Because they think the increase in prosperity that they generate is all for me. It's for other people. A man's harvest in life is not dependent on the fruit that his heart produces. Its harvest is dependent upon what you sow. God wants you to be a sower and then a reaper. Y'all get that? Amen. Amen. So we got to stop being selfish and self-centered and focused on, hey, look at this, we got a pay raise. Well, that's a harvest that came into you from some seeds that you've sown. Amen. Now you got to turn around and sow more seed. Are you listening to me? Does that make sense to everybody? Amen. You can't just look at, oh, man, I got this increase, and I just eat my seed instead of sow my seed. Come on, y'all stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to hear from you. We thank you for your word today. We give you all the praise and honor and glory that we will get this. We will get the laws of sowing and reaping, that each and every one of us will become better and bigger sowers and better and bigger reapers. In Jesus' name, amen.